Let's turn in God's Word to Genesis and chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. And we'll be reading the whole chapter, verses 1 through 33. Genesis 18, verses 1 through 33. And beginning in verse 1, these are God's words. Then the Lord appeared to him by the terebinth trees of Mamre as he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. So he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground and said, "My Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant. Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh your hearts. After that, you may pass by, inasmuch as you have come to your servant." They said, "Do as you have said." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, "Quickly, make ready three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes." And Abraham ran to the herd, took a tender and good calf, gave it to a young man, and he hastened to prepare it. So he took butter and milk and the calf which he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree as they ate. And they said to him, Where is Sarah, your wife? So he said, "Here, in the tent." And he said, "I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son." Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also?" And the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Shall I surely bear a child since I am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." But Sarah denied it, saying, "I did not laugh," for she was afraid. And he said, "No, but you did laugh." And the men rose from there and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to send them on the way. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him." And the Lord said, "Because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grave, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry against it that has come to me. And if not, I will know." And the men turned away from there and went down toward Sodom. But Abraham still stood before the Lord. And Abraham came near and said, "Would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there were 50 righteous within the city, would you also destroy the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous that were in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" So the Lord said, "If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes." Then Abraham answered and said, "Indeed, now I who am but dust and ashes have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose there were 5 less than the 50 righteous, would you destroy all the city for lack of 5? So he said, "If I find there 45, I will not destroy it." And he spoke to him yet again and said, "Suppose there should be 40 found there." So he said, "I will not do it for the sake of 40. And he said, "Let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Suppose 30 should be found there." So he said, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." And he said, "Indeed, now I have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 should be found there." So he said, "I will not destroy it for the sake of 20. And he said, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak but once more. Suppose 10 should be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 10. So the Lord went his way as soon as he had finished speaking with Abraham. And Abraham returned to his place. And those are God's words. And following in the last chapter, Abraham's obedience, the Lord appeared again to him. But yet, you notice the language in verse 2. Three men stood before him. Three angels appearing as men. One of them, the angel of the Lord. The promise given about Sarah bearing a child the following year, for which, given her old age, it says she laughed as she heard it. Sarah doubted. But the Lord affirms His promise, even by knowing Sarah's thoughts, just as Jesus reveals that He knows the thoughts and intentions of our heart, just like the Lord, because He is the Lord in the Gospels. And then we see in the remainder of the chapter the promise of God's wrath toward Sodom and Gomorrah because of their great sin and wickedness. And yet He doesn't hide this from Abraham. Just as we'll hear today, He doesn't hide this from us about the Lord's judgment upon the nations. As they have rebelled against the Lord and against His anointed Jesus Christ. And what is our plea to be? But like Abraham's at the end of the chapter, we can pray similarly. But for the few righteous who remain, Lord, hold back Your judgment. Hold back the wrath of Your fury. Don't cause the righteous to fall with the wicked. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for seeing in this passage two things. One, that Sarah laughs, she doubts. And Father, we pray that we would not doubt. We would not scoff or laugh at Your word when we hear it. And we would trust You, knowing that You're the God who can do all things. All things are possible through You. Even those who are barren, You can make to bear children. Those who are of old age and cannot have children, past the years of childbearing, You can produce a child in such people. And Father, we're thankful for this as we think also of the many other things that we often doubt that have to do with Your promises. Just like we often think as we've gone through Romans and Romans 11 that all those a great amount of Gentiles and a great amount of Jews will come into the kingdom. That is hard for us to grasp, and we doubt. We might scoff at that. Some people do. Father, we see also in the Scriptures that all nations will bow to You, will bow to Your Son. And we often scoff at that. There's no way, right? That's what our thinking is. But that's Your promise. And as You promised, just as You promised Abraham and Sarah a child, even at this point in the following year, even at their old age, when Abraham was 100 years old and Sarah 90 years old, You can do this. You will do, and You'll bring about all Your promises. You're faithful. You're always faithful. You're the covenant-keeping God, the promise-keeping God, because You're the God who is true. And anytime we scoff, we ought to remember or laugh at Your promises. We ought to remember that You are true, and let every man be a liar. Father, we're thankful as we're able to gather this morning together. We're thankful for the prospect of the fellowship meal next Lord's Day. So we get to gather together and eat together. And fellowship in a perhaps a greater way than we normally get to. Father, we're thankful for the church. We're thankful for the body of Christ and how You're growing Your church throughout the world and amongst us. We're thankful That you're the God who reminds us again and again every Lord's Day, and hopefully as we read the Scriptures every day, by your mercy that is new every morning, that Christ died for our sins on the cross. That you've reminded us of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we're thankful and we pray for any here and any throughout the world this day as the word goes forth and peoples throughout the world worship you. We pray this would be the day of salvation. And all who would hear would come to Christ and turn from their sins as we pray for each one of us here this morning. And Father, we pray for those who are not feeling well. We pray for the Maines and the Gardners and the Gordetskis and Deanne and Jeannie, any who are not here this morning. Because they're not feeling well or didn't sleep well, Father, we ask that you would grant to them great health and strength, and that, Lord willing, you would bring them here this evening, if that be your will. And Father, we ask also that you would strengthen all of us, build up our immune systems, grant to us great health for your sake, for your glory, that we would be able to minister and not fear sickness. Father, we praise you for the many in our congregation who work with older people or with just random people and the public. Father, we pray that you would be with them and give them your word, that they would be able to proclaim the word where they go and where they work. And pray for all of us as we work, we'd be able to share the gospel, testify of the good news of Jesus Christ, the good news that is actually great news, the best news, and that we pray that we would that you would bear fruit and you would grow your church. And Father, we also ask that you would continue to be with those congregations that have no pastor in Denison and Columbia, and you would provide for them at the right time. We pray for the ministers who've been called. You would bless their examinations. And your will would be done. We pray for those others that need a pastor, as we think in San Antonio and Oklahoma City. We pray for them and ask for your blessing upon them, and bring the right and godly man to proclaim your word consistently to those congregations, and that you would grow your church. We pray that you would grow us, and we pray that so that we would be able to extend, that you would be able to extend the kingdom through us, and that you would even make it so that we could plant another church. And maybe, Lord willing, even after that, another church. Father, we ask that the church would continue to extend and expand throughout not just Kansas City, but Missouri. We know as we look and think upon Missouri, there are very few godly, gospel-preaching churches throughout the state of Missouri. We pray for our state and state of Kansas the same, Father, and ask for your blessing that the church would expand and your gospel would be faithfully proclaimed, the sacraments would be rightly administered, and there would be church discipline rightly administered as well. And yet, Father, what we find in not just our states, but throughout our nation and throughout the world is often weak churches. We pray that we would not be weak, if that be your will, and that you would strengthen us and humble us before your throne, and that we would depend upon your grace, not our own mind or strength or methods, but that your name would be glorified in all things. That is our prayer, that your name would be glorified, that you would, as we heard in the call to worship, you would be extolled. We would sing your praises and we would rejoice in you in all things, not taking any glory unto ourselves, for we know that great warning upon taking glory to ourselves. And Father, we do, as we are considering our civil magistrate and our duty as citizens this morning, we ask for your blessing upon our nation. We ask for a blessing upon our rulers, that you would make our nation, the peoples of our nation, the rulers of our nation, a repentant people, that they would turn from their sins. We would all turn from our sins, and we would turn unto you and bow the knee to Jesus Christ and pledge our allegiance to Jesus who sits on the throne. We pray that for our rulers too, that they would rule according to your word. And they would set up a godly government, a righteous government according to your word as we've studied. And Father, as we've heard in this passage that we read, that as we deserve judgment, as we'll hear in a few moments, Father, we ask that for the few righteous who remain, that you would spare our nation. We pray that you would give us time, that many would come unto you, and that if it be your will, you would turn this nation unto you, not through judgment, merely through judgment, but through the gospel and the nation coming to you and serving you and fearing your name. But please spare us for those who are in Christ. Spare us for your glory's sake, if that be your will. And Father, we ask, further, we ask that we as citizens, that you would make us the best citizens, the most wise and godly and righteous and holy citizens who always obey your law, and that we would not put our trust in princes or in man, but we would put our trust in you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in all things, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.